rezoning of the subject property to A36 is one of the conditions of the consent decision. The property is approximately 850-foot frontage on concession 9 with a depth of 2,020 feet and is approximately 48 acres. The proposed amendment to the zoning bylaw would change the zoning for the subject lands noted above, which is presently agricultural, to special provision agricultural, A36 zone. The land is designated agricultural in the town's official plan. The dwelling was considered surplus to the needs of the farming operation. The effect of the zoning bylaw will be to allow general agricultural uses to continue, but to prohibit any new dwelling units on the lands. A minor variance was also obtained for the minimum lot area for the farm parcel. The requested zoning bylaw amendment is consistent with the provincial policy statement and is in conformity with the town's official plan. Consultation was achieved by publishing and circulating the required agencies, property owners, and municipal departments in accordance with the statutory requirements of the Planning Act. Comments were received from IRCA stating that a portion of the property is regulated under Section 28 of the Conservation Authorities Act. And prior to any construction or site alteration in the vicinity of the 9th concession drain or the Chaz Shepley D&W drain, a permit or clearance may be required. In conclusion, I would suggest the following recommendations: that council approve the application from Joe Bronson on behalf of John Vander Hayden for the zoning bylaw amendment, and further, pending council consideration of written and oral comments received at this public meeting, that zoning bylaw 2013-44 be considered at the regular council meeting following this public meeting.
Thank you very much for that information. And just before I ask council to deal with it, does anyone here have anything they wish to state at this time, this being a public meeting? Hearing none, what's council's concern relative to the presentation? Councilor Pino.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have no concern. I'm prepared to make a motion.
Well, that's a concern. Go ahead.
The council received the report from Rebecca, and also that council approved the application from Joe Grandin on behalf of John Vander Hayden for the zoning bylaw amendment. And also further, that council received no comments from the public meeting, that bylaw 2013-44 be considered at the regular meeting following this public meeting.
Supported by Councilor Sutton. Further discussions? Hearing none, all in favor? Opposed, carried unanimously. Thank you very much. And we'll deal with this at our council meeting that's coming up at 7 o'clock.
That'll do it.
What's your pleasure with the meeting being concluded? Is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Councilor Pino, supported by Councilor Davies.
I try.
All in favor? Opposed, motion is carried. Thank you. See you at 9 o'clock.
Well, probably true, actually.
Mr. Mayor, I just want to get rid of my coffee cup in case Councilor Davies gets.
Okay.
I didn't want to wear the rest.
It's okay.
Here we go.
This meeting of the Amherstburg Council to order, and we have with us this evening Pastor Val Sabati from the Christian Missionary Alliance, and I would ask is stand while he opens up our meeting with a word of prayer. Pastor Selvati.
Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight as we gather together here. Father, we want to thank you for this wonderful, beautiful country that we are living, a country of opportunities. Father, we thank you for this beautiful town of Reynoldsburg. Father, we pray that the wisdom of God be upon all the leaders, and that how they work faithfully and passionately and to bring this town safe to live with an opportunity to grow. Father, I pray that you will give every one of them the wisdom that comes from the Creator to continue to build this town a place to be safe and living. So, Father God, I pray tonight that you be beside us, with us, as they discussing and take any decisions, will be guided by the wisdom of God. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Let me welcome everyone here this evening. That now brings us to the time in our agenda. Ask the question, are there any pecuniary interests, are there any conflicts, any members of council has? Yes, Councilor Davies.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, through you. Pecuniary interest of number 15.4, the family health team site. I will have conflict of interest with that because I'm on the board of directors.
That would be so noted. Anyone else? If not, if perhaps during the course of this particular meeting one finds themselves in conflict, notification to the chair identifying exactly what the conflict is, and we certainly will have it noted in the minutes. That brings us, of course, to the minutes of our previous meeting. What's Councilor's pleasure? Councilor Peon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll move the minutes of the following dates adapted from April 22nd to 13. There's four on April the 22nd be adopted.
It's been moved by Councilor Pilon, supported by Deputy Mayor Sutherland. Any comments, errors, or omissions with those particular minutes?
I think you meant the ones as listed, correct?
As listed is what he was trying to put
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
If not, all in favor? Opposed, motion is carried unanimously. I want to say we have with us this evening with respect to recognizing, of course, the Emmitsburg Library, as we all know, has turned 100 years old. We have, of course, the building itself that has many memories for so many people in our community. I think it was only proper that we had the librarian. Do we have the librarian here this evening? Yeah, we have Christine. Christine is here, and I want to just make a presentation to you on behalf of council for the town of Emmitsburg in recognition and appreciation of your 100 years of dedicated service to the town of Emmitsburg and its residents, wishing continued success in your future endeavors within our community. On behalf of council, certainly administration, but more importantly, on behalf of the residents themselves, I'd like to make this presentation to you. Bring this to delegation. You want to move the presentation?
Yeah, I'll move the presentation, Mr. Mayor.
It's been moved by Councilor Sutton, supported by Councilor Davies. All in favor? Opposed again, it's carried unanimously. And that brings us to the portion of our meeting for delegation.
Our first delegation, Gideon Lenningham and Steve Dunn, 2-hour limit of parking, downtown parking.
Would you come forward, please? You can sit in those chairs and make your presentation to council.
I'm kind of nervous, so I'm
that's
not
okay.
Speak.
We'll
I'm
be
kind
of
never done this
we'll try
Dan,
just to be as informal as we can. Go ahead.
Okay. So basically, you know, it's all about location, location, location. And I just think by... I'll just let Steve do it.
Go ahead.
Well, good evening, Your Worship, and fellow council members. We come before you to bring a growing concern in the downtown business core. This concern involves the 2-hour parking limit. With the growing tourism, which is up 171% since 2009, along with a population increase of 0.3% over the Ontario national average of 6.6 from 2001 to 2006, the 2-hour limit is in need of a better solution than what we already have. In a recent push to have the limit enforced, it became apparent that this limit, along with the fact there is a limited number of spaces, does not suit the current needs of local businesses. In recent months, we started a petition to have the limit changed from 2 hours to 4, which we thought would have been an easy solution. Through our investigation and holding a volunteer meeting on May 7th for local business, police, chamber of commerce, and town council, we found this was not the best solution. Although we did find there was many other bigger concerns that went along with the 2-hour limit. In the meeting, along with visiting local business in person and petition, the voices of local businesses and citizens were presented to us. Through this process, we looked at the concerns brought to us and here tonight to present a way we can all work together to find the best solution to make Amherstburg an attractive and easily accessible town. We are not here to fight, nor are we working for council to do all the work to find that solution. We are looking for is for the people and business of this town to be heard and for council to listen to these concerns and set up a future meeting to discuss the situation further. We would like everyone to work together to foster growth and pride in making Amherstburg the place to visit and live. One of the major concerns most people in the downtown parking spots is for employee parking. There's a vast majority of businesses that do not have any parking with their locations, and therefore their employees are forced to find parking in the immediate area. There are other businesses, like the bank, that employ a large number of employees. They do have parking available, however, ask their employees not to use that parking. With the expansion of the nursing home, which was proposed in 2009, a relief of bylaw 1999-52 in order to meet the demands of frontage and side expansion was proposed in order to do an underground parking. Later that year, that was taken away due to unknown to us for whatever reasons. As you can see, we've only scratched the surface in this concern. At the moment, we clearly know there's room for improvement. There's a definite need for businesses to know where employees can park, what parking is not limited to 2 hours. There's also a need to this demand, such as a parking lot where employees can park and pay, and it removes and frees up parking for client and future economic business increase. By having a lot available and requiring payment, whether through pay-as-you-go or monthly passes, this would bring in dollars to help cover the cost of this lot. There are several lots available that could be bought, leased, or other situations corrected. The next concern would involve options to extend parking limits when required by businesses that extend services extend the 2-hour limit. Each business is unique, as we all know. Each business views the parking limit in different ways. The 2-hour limit is a great start and something to build on. By offering other possible solutions to business, it builds trust that the town is working with businesses to build a bigger and better Amherstburg. It shows commitment to the economic development of this town and shows any future businesses that are looking at this town that this is the place to come and do business. One of the ways to help the situation is to provide an option for business to purchase a monthly pass that they may use for their clients to display in the window of their vehicles, so that when the bylaw officer comes by, they will see that this vehicle is at a local business and that they will be over the two-hour limit. This will do two things. It brings money for the town, not in a negative way such as a ticket, and it allows the businesses to conduct their business in an economic and profitable way. We realize this may not satisfy all businesses and their needs, however, it is start to something to build on and grow with. Through ideas such as this and working together as a town, willing to find solutions and growth and an ongoing investigations and listening to current problems arising, not only through the downtown core, yet the whole town can only be proof positive for the future. In a town that is growing and providing great opportunities through tourism and population growth, a town that offers a variety of beauty through the waterfront and festivals and activities this town has, in a place that has marketed itself as a great retirement community and a place to live, it is only apparent we look at the downtown core to help in providing great experience for all of these things. There are many other communities, big and small, that are faced with the challenge of keeping their downtown core alive and doing well. There are many communities faced with the challenge of providing parking for a growing community. We want Amherstburg to rise up and be a model for other communities to look for the answers that they may face. During our investigation, we did look at and contact other communities like this one to see what they have done for their parking challenges. This information was included in the reports that you did receive prior to this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve, for that presentation. And let me remind you, would you be kind enough to ensure administration gets a copy of that? Oh, we've got it there?
Okay. Yeah.
Questions of council. Councilor Pilon, followed by Councilor Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. That was a good presentation, and by all means, this council wants to work with you, with the folks downtown. You're right, this town is growing, and if we can keep it going, we're going to try. And I guess I'm at a stuck like you are for what to do. So I think that's why it needs some more work. I recall back in 2011 when we did this. We had a number of meetings with residents and the business people, and that's what came out of it. Maybe you're right. Maybe it's time to look at something else because the town has more businesses. We have, by all means, we definitely have more people coming into town. So I thank you again for your presentation. And in my opinion, I think we need to refer this to administration for a report back to us. And if somebody will support that, I'll make that a motion now.
Councilor Davey, go ahead.
I'm seconding his motion and prepared to
speak
afterwards.
Is that a motion? We're kind of lenient this evening, you know, for you just to get there and speak and then make a motion. But we'll allow
there'll be lots of time to speak.
Okay, but I'm just saying, you don't speak and then make a motion, Councilor Keon.
You've been lenient before, I think.
Okay. So you've got that as a motion? Would you repeat
yes.
it, please?
Yes. This is a motion to take all information received tonight along with information we received before and administration come back to council with report in the near future.
Supported by Councilor Davies. Discussion on that motion. Councilor Sutton.
Yeah, I concur with Councilor Pilon's motion, and certainly, Steve, I think you hit the nail on the head. We have to work together to find positive solutions. That's really what it's all about. You know, we've received information in the past in terms of the number of spots that are down there. Councils of the past have, even to their great peril, invested capital dollars in terms of creating new municipal lots downtown, and sometimes that wasn't looked upon favorably because there's an illusion that there's an excess of parking sometimes downtown, which isn't always the case.
But there is.
Yeah, I think what there is how those spaces are utilized. That's what it boils down to, and those
even
are the solutions. Right, and those are the solutions that we need to look towards. So I think we're all aware of the issues. It's coming to some kind of common ground around how we can make that particular situation work that benefits everyone. And certainly, I think, you know, you alluded to it, we're attracting more tourists, we're attracting more visitors, we're attracting more business to the downtown core, which certainly benefits the municipality as a whole. So anything we can do to foster that, including making it more pedestrian friendly, the installation of bike racks so that people can, you know, who are able-bodied can park perhaps a little ways away and be able to transport themselves down there without utilizing parking spots. That has to be part of the solution as well. So I think a report from administration that looks at those options and works with business to create them, hopefully will come to some common ground on that.
Councilor Davies.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you, I also agree. I think that thank you very much for your presentation. I know a lot of work went into it, and I totally appreciate that. And I think we're all on the same page. I mean, the best problem we can have in a town like ours is to not have enough parking for the businesses. That's a good, healthy sign. Also creates an excitement that this is the place to come to shop. And I know there's both sides of the coin, whether we have enough parking spots, don't have enough, whether or not, you know, where we go with all of that. Certainly, I think Councillor Sutton looked on my sheet of paper about the bike racks, but I do think that's an important one because a lot of our folks, old and young, are now wanting to use bicycles, but if they don't have a place to lock them up, they're a little bit more concerned. So I think that's a critical one. I would love to see some kind of a full discussion with Chamber of Commerce, yourselves, ourselves. the other thing, though, I think is really important is that we all come to some agreement about where do staff park versus the people who we do want to stop right where they want to walk. We also know studies show that when people walk past a number of stores, they'll go in them more likely than if they just park in front of the place they want to be. So having a little bit of a walking space isn't necessarily bad unless they're disabled, and then we really need to encourage people who are really having difficulty to take advantage of the handicapped parking things at which we have got there and for their use. So I support this. I really hope that we can move forward, and I think we can have a lot of fun with it as well and open up the town to more visitors.
Councilor Pouget.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. Thank you, both of you, for bringing this to our attention. And I'm sure you know that I was the one that initiated it, and little did I know that, you know, that all the complaints I was getting regarding people that were abusing the two-hour parking and were parking there for 8 hours at a time. We couldn't let that go. That had to be enforced, and I thank the police department for doing that. I know some of you are very upset about it, but on the other hand, there were a large number of people in our community that were very grateful that they could finally park, and the merchants in that area were grateful also. I do support Councillor Pialong's motion to ask administration to get a report back to us, and one of the things I would like them to report back to is whether or not our the fact that we are having an additional 13 rooms, I believe it is, and you brought this forward at the nursing home, if that will add to the problem associated with, like, will it involve more nursing staff, more staff, and if that will add to the problem downtown. Also, we have to keep in mind that the 116%, I believe you quoted, a lot of people don't drive into town. They come by bus, boat, and they, for the wine fest, they also park out of town at the former General Chemical property, and they're shuttled in. So that's some of the things that maybe administration can dwell on. And also, I know that you brought it to our attention in a previous report about some businesses that were allowed to park. I don't know what these businesses are, and so I would ask administration to, you know, to dwell, to report back to us on that.
Can I just ask something? Sure. Until this problem is solved, how can we enforce the employees that are parking on the streets? How can we enforce them to park in a, like, letter form from the town?
I don't know what you're talking about. How can you force who?
The businesses that have the
that are parking,
the parking
on the street
right in front of their
and
store.
I think in that regard, then I don't want to get into a cross table debate here because the presentation that I had put forth has dealt with this. But I think what happened is that if the police go out there and put tickets on them like they did before, they'll find a way. I'll just really, just for a moment, say to our chief, Chief, when we did this on Dalhousie Street, what was the results of that?
Mr. Mayor, I don't know if any of our officers have ever been down there and chopped tires and knocked out a ticket. We don't know whose cars belong to who. And so we are enforcing the 2-hour time limit. So if they want to avoid the $18 ticket, then they're going to move their cars. We can't differentiate whose employee they are, what business they belong to. So we mark the tire, or well, I should say mark tires. We know where the tires, the valve stems are, and 2 hours later we write tickets.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to say one thing. We as a police service, we could have certainly done better in enforcing the bylaw down there, and we could have for years. But I just for the record, I do want everyone to know that last year we wrote 78 tickets. 25% of those tickets were downtown only, and 50% of those were for the 2-hour parking. That was in 2012. That's as far as we could go back. So the 2-hour parking has been enforced. Can I say we've done a good job of enforcing it consistently? No. But I can tell you we were down there and we were writing tickets. It's just that because we've been more diligent at it, it has brought the topic to the forefront.
And I think, Gayanne, one of the things, and certainly this is something that has been going on for years, there's got to be a way that the businesses...
I mean, it's just common sense.
Yeah, their businesses can say to their employees, listen, don't park in the particular area for the obvious reason. And I hear it from complaint from businesses all the time, especially in the Dalhousie,
because that's not
Richmond
welcoming
area.
The money
that's
from
right.
The district.
Exactly. So there's got to be some way we can do this, address it in the interim until such time administration comes back. Councillor DePasquale.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you to our speakers, great job. I had the pleasure of attending a meeting the other night, and there were a lot more people than there are here tonight. But the crowd was very... they were the same as the two speakers, very positive, very, it's nice to have speakers like yourselves and present information to council that we can consider and really look at. You got some viable things we can look at. Thank you again.
Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you to the delegation, I too want to jump on the bandwagon and say that was an excellent presentation. I think that one of the questions that you had was like, what can be done as far as where employees can park. Well, I talked to a number of businesses ever since the tickets were handed out that particular week. And one of the things that I mentioned to each and every one of them were, there's a municipal parking lot right behind the, off Richmond Street, where the License Bureau is, in that building. Yes, there's a municipal parking lot there that nobody seems to know about. That's a block off of Dalhousie, and I think there's your problem, or there's a solution for your problem.
That's
for
only 29 parking spots. We need 144.
Well, if you could get 29 of them to park
well,
their cars over there.
I don't want to get into a cross table.
That's fine. I just threw it out as a suggestion.
Councillor Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you, as I said, this is a healthy problem to have, and I agree. Heritage only has 29. There's a total, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, something like 170 off-street parking spots. What would be useful to do in the meantime is do a trial, and certainly we need better signage. There's no question about that. But try those spots out. It may resolve a huge part of the problem. I know that staff may have to walk a little bit further to get to their businesses. Certainly if they have something to drop off, they could drop it off and then go park. But it would be really useful to see the effects of trying this out. I think we've shown a number of places of public parking where there's some people like to walk further than others. Certainly at my workplace, we're encouraged park at the very far end of our large parking lot so that the businesses can park closer to the stores. And so it's quite a distance. But some people can't do that. So, you know, I think if we could trial that while we're trying to look for solutions, we might find that we do have adequate. I've never, ever seen the Heritage Parking Plaza. It's almost virtually empty. So I've never seen it used and to the extent it could be. And a number of the other ones, it's usually people coming and going. And remember those two-hour parking spots. Most of those people are coming and going. So if somebody knows they're going to be 4 hours, maybe they could also be advised of the parking, but we certainly have to do a better job with the signage.
On the motion, no further discussion. All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you very much.
And thank you for your time and for this discussion.
Thanks, Steve. Next item.
Presentations 10.1, Lindsay Rounding, Accountant, 2011 Financial Statements. And I would ask Council to refer to the consent report under item 17E.
Somebody tell me exactly where I can find the financial report. I'm on 17E, and I don't see the report. Yeah, I know, but there's a report. There's no, we don't have any numbers here.
44. Page 44. If you click
the
link, if you hit the
link on your agenda, Bob, it'll bring you right there.
You get it? We're going to have a workshop on that.
Well, I guess I'm not the only one here, doesn't it?
I think, has everybody got it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go to your left side.
Tell the truth.
Yeah, it's all here.
Well, it would have been nice if it had been right in with our rest of our stuff. So yeah. That
have you got it, Councilor Pianta?
I've got it. I think she's got it.
You may continue.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Sorry, I'm sorry.
No worries. And as well, cash has gone down quite a bit with your commitment to putting money back into the TCAs, the Tangible Capital Assets. You invested about $17 million in 2011. The taxes and grants in lieu has gone down quite a bit in result of General Chemical being sold, so that was sitting there for a bit. Trade and other receivables we touched on. Long-term investment, That is your investment in Essex Power. So that's going to vary depending how Essex Power does. So as you can see, it had a good year in 2011, and as a result, your investment's gone up. So you're sitting at assets of $14 million versus the $23 million. Liabilities. Bank indebtedness, that's also gone down dramatically. The swing there, it's gone down about $22 million, and it's now moved down to long-term debt. You had short-term financing sitting in there, again, for your capital projects, so that's what's caused long-term debt now to go up by the 22. Interest, we already touched on accounts payable. The interest on debt, that's up because your debt has gone up dramatically, so as well, your commitment to the interest portion of it has gone up. And then the employee future or employee benefits payable, that's a result of the Aon report. It's gone up 3%. And deferred revenue, it's gone up by approximately $800,000. That's the federal gas tax money. It was received and the project wasn't completed, so it's sitting there to apply against the project in 2012. So those are the swings there on your liabilities, amounting to close to $74 million versus $76.5 million. And you have a net financial debt. What that means is that's money that the town of Amherst has committed of future revenue that you need to cover that debt, okay? A large portion of it being for these big capital projects that you have going on. And then we have non-financial assets, the tangible capital assets that we talked about that went up about $17 million, and amortization of $1 million to bring it down, and again, for the big projects that are going on. And so your accumulated surplus, close to $187 million versus the $189. Now, caution, that doesn't mean that that's tax money sitting there. I know that surplus word is very deceiving. This is a result of PSAB statements, which we talked about a couple years ago, of the TCAs. So part of that surplus is your tangible capital assets. That's not the number you should compare to budget or bring into budget, okay? That's strictly PSAB related. So where you've got two systems going on, we've got your budget, which is under fund accounting, and we've got the financials under PSAB. Your financials have to be under PSAB because that's your reporting framework, okay? And you still will continue to budget under fund accounting because you're gonna budget basically on the capital side for the portions you expect to cover, like the whatever you expect to pay down on your capital, but you're not going to budget for all of that. You're not going to budget for amortization, okay? So they're all municipalities do this where there's the two systems. And if we can go to the next page, your consolidated statement of activities. As you can see, this is the 12-month period up to the end of 2011, and you can compare to your budget column. Now again, if you guys all were gonna run home and compare this to the budget that you passed, you will see that it's different because the budget gets restated to come in line with PSAB, so to bring in amortization and those items, okay? So it's not the exact same. I wasn't gonna go through this one in as much detail. The main changes that you can see here are the grants, the government transfers, are up at the top there and towards the bottom under grants and related to capital. In total, your grants, you receive more than what you budgeted for, which is positive. And as well, you can see your hydro income was up compared to what you expected. And you can tell there too, towards the bottom of the revenue section, the change in drainage receivables, gain and loss on TCAs, proceeds from sale TCAs, those are all PSAB items, so there is no budget number there, and that is normal. That's the same for all municipalities. Your expenses, you can see, are up compared to budget. A lot of it relating to the interest component. There was more interest that was incurred than what was budgeted for, again, because of your large debt level with relation to these huge capital projects that happen. So again, we come down to that surplus number, and again, that's not money that's sitting away anywhere, okay? And your next statement there, the consolidated statement of change in net financial debt, that just reconciles the surplus to the net debt number. It takes out all the numbers related to TCAs, okay? So the PSAB component. I'm just going to flip through the statements and touch on a couple notes, if you guys don't mind, that I think are of interest. This might be difficult to give you a page number, though. It's minor to see. If you go to note 5, okay, that shows your long-term liabilities, okay, $41 million. 5C shows the expected repayments that you're expected to pay down in principal. That's not interest, just principal. And you can see in note 6, it shows what you paid in principal in 2011, just over $2 million in interest of 1.8. So Amherst's been focusing on that debt and paid down about 3.8, okay? Another note of interest, if you can flip to note 13. Again, just to recap, the budget here, if you were to compare it to what got passed, it's been restated to conform to PSAP. You have to have comparative budget. So you can see what was passed in the one column, and then the change, and the restated. Again, this is very high level compared to what you guys look at, I know, at your budget meetings. And then if you want to go to Schedule 1, I know we went through this extensively a couple years ago. That's your tangible capital assets. You can see there that you have quite a bit of construction in progress. That's in that first block far to the right. You have about $54 million of construction in progress. So what that means at 2011, those were projects that were in process, but those assets weren't completed yet, okay? So at some point, likely a good chunk of that in 2012 will move over and start getting amortized. But right now, that $54 million is sitting there waiting, okay? And that's basically the main variances that I was going to touch on. I know there's a lot of numbers and detail here. As part of the audit, not only are the financial statements key as a result of the audit, we also look at the controls that are in place within the organization. We look at basically the flow of information for the receipts, the money that's coming in, who's recording it into the system, how often is it going to bank, where is it getting posted in the system, who's signing off, etc. And we test receipts, payroll, disbursements, etc. And we look at the organizational controls to give us comfort when we're doing our testing, okay? So in other years, we've commented on a couple things we suggest each year, basically, to try to improve. And I submitted my audit findings letter, again, with just a couple minor suggestions. So just that, you know, your management's committed to they're keeping trying to improve their processes. And other than that, I'm open to questions.
Sure. Thank you, Lindsay. Questions or comments of council at this time to the presenter? Any concerns, Councillor Sutton?
Well, just try to keep this brief, Lindsay. I know you'll correct me if I'm wrong, but I think basically what you're saying is that Amherstburg continues to make a lot of capital investments, which is, as we all know, incurred some debt, but that debt is being managed and being paid off. And all in all, we're not dissimilar from other municipalities in terms of our accounting practices and the controls we have in place to ensure that we remain fiscally solvent and healthy.
Yes, Amherstburg has been committing to many capital projects, as did many municipalities in 2011, because there was a lot of money out there to grab, stimulate the economy with the federal and provincial government accounting for usually a third, and then Amherstburg coming up with their third. So unfortunately, there are some higher debt levels than what you've seen in the past, which Amherstburg needs to focus on keeping that in mind when they're making future strategic decisions. And as well, Amherstburg has taken on some debt and has encountered, there is, I think management is looking into where they sit compared to budget and are going to be addressing that, because that's a key fact when you look at your budget process too.
I think with that in mind, that's one of the reasons why there has been an organizational review and a restructuring that has taken place for that very fact. Anyone else? Councillor Puget.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. Through you to Lindsay. Thank you, Lindsay, for this very, very detailed audit. I just have a question regarding the audit for 2011. Are we on time for this audit?
Technically, your audits are supposed to be completed at the end of May, okay? Not necessarily your audits, but your FIR and audited financial statements. Now, if you can recall, 2010, I believe I came before you in September. So we were already delayed and behind at that point. So now we're sitting here at May. Management does realize when the timeline is, and I believe their goal is to get in line with that. I don't know how aggressively or, you know, the exact idea, but no, they are due by the end of May.
As a follow-up, and is that for 2011 or for 2012?
For each year, for every year. They're always due the following May.
So for 2012, we're due right now?
At the end of this month, yes.
And we'll, when do we expect to have the 2012?
Well, I think what we, in all fairness, Val, would you want to speak to that?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to respond to that, and thank you. That's actually the right question to ask. I think, as you pointed out through your questioning, we're a little behind, and it's something that's happened over a period of time. It's not something new, and as Lindsay pointed out, we did our 2010 audit in September of last year, so we're trying to catch up, and we're working hard. I know that the treasurer and his team have worked really hard to try and catch up. And since I've been on board, it's been maybe a couple of months now. I know that they've been working really hard on the 2011 to get the information out. One of the reasons I was particularly keen on making sure we got these financial statements out through this process is because there's infrastructure funding that is due to us that's sitting there waiting until these statements are released. So there is some need for us to be moving on this front, and we are moving on this front. Our goal is to, and we were just talking about this before this meeting, to try and get the 2012 statements done as quickly as we can. My target was the end of June, and we'll see how we can make that work. We'll need to just get all of our resources together. Certainly, I want to do that before we start talking about 2014 budget.
Sure. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor Hirst. Just as a follow-up, and I'm not criticizing anyone at all regarding the delay. My concern was that if we would be able to apply for grants if we didn't have these completed. That's not basically my concern.
As it's been stated, there's money waiting, and once we get that done, of course, that money will be released. Councillor DePasquale.
Thanks, Mr. Hirst, or Mayor Hirst. Through you to reference to the municipal performance management money that comes with this report. Am I correct saying that? Are we allowed to apply for the measurement, performance measurement grants by completing these? Is that how that works? You know,
the money that I was referring to was infrastructure funding. It was a loan that was authorized in 2011, but wasn't released to us. So I think you're talking about something quite different.
So this doesn't make a difference to apply for the municipal performance.
Well, one of the things that I would like to have the opportunity to do since I've come on board and I've been trying to move in that direction is to take a look at where we actually stand financially. And it's not, I think Lindsay's done an incredible job of helping us put our financial statements together. But this is only one picture that council needs to work with. The other picture is how we're doing against our budgets. And as well, how are we doing against debt limits, as an example, that the Ministry of Municipal Affairs has in place for us. There's only so much debt we can incur. And so we have to tread carefully in some of these areas. And I'm looking forward to the opportunity to look at where we stand, get a good idea of where we are, not 2 years back, which is what this is, but as we move forward over the next couple of months, where are we today? Where do we stand today? Do we have the right policies in place, the right practices in place? Are we doing things the way we should be doing to move forward? And I think, so we're headed in that direction. And this is the first step.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, go ahead.
Just a follow-up. Thank you, Paul. That hit everything I had in my thoughts, and I'm glad to see that you're right on the money. You've only been here a short time.
Okay. I can leave now.
Councilor Davies.
A lot of what I wanted to ask has been said, but I just want to say that this whole restructuring and restructuring of corporate services specifically is just demonstrating how what a good decision it was to move in this direction. So I want to thank you, and I want to thank Val and Lindsay both for this hard work, and I know it's hard work, and I'm really looking forward to seeing 2012 sooner than later as well. So I want to thank you both for working so hard to get there.
I'd entertain a motion to receive the report and certainly adopt the presentation as it relates to the financial statements. Councillor Davies?
I'll move.
It's been moved, supported by Councillor Pilon. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor? Opposed, motion is carried unanimously. Thank you very much, Andrew.
Thank you.
That brings us to item 10.2, the branding presentation. Administration is asking that Council defer the item until the May 27th agenda.
Motion to defer,
Councillor. I'll move that.
Deputy Mayor Sutherland? Been moved, supported by Councillor Puget. All in favor? Motion is carried unanimously.
That brings us to 10.3, organizational review update. Christina Poser DiPaolo, acting CAO, and if Council would refer to report item 16.1.
What's your pleasure? That's for your information, as we have requested. And I think what happened too, if you can understand and appreciate that, in time we'll be in a position where we'll get updated by the new CAO.
Your Worship and members of Council. I just simply wanted to provide Council with an update on our organizational review. The last time we were in front of Council was in October of 2012, and at that time Council approved steps in moving forward with the organizational review. The chart that you see here before you is our current organizational structure. What you'll notice is that we are now currently operating in four different colors. We now have on board our Director of Engineering and Infrastructure, our Director of Corporate Services, Director of Recreation and Culture, and Director of Legislative Services and Clerk. Within those areas, different functions appear, and what was presented to Council in the agenda and will also be placed on our town websites are the different areas and functions that occur within each mandate. So for instance, our Public Works and Engineering Department has areas that refer to engineering, environmental services, wastewater treatment, water distribution, municipal drainage, and roads and right-of-way maintenance. I'm not going to go into detail, however, myself and all four directors are present here before you this evening. So if you have any questions regarding the report that was on the agenda, we'll field the questions, but I just didn't want to take up the time with the presentation. What I wanted to highlight with this is simply to state that we are now currently in the four pillars, and that each of the pillars has different functions with different areas. So moving on to the Corporate Services Department, those areas are now divided into Information Technology and GIS, Human Resources, Financial Services, and Strategic Asset Management. The Recreation and Culture Department is encompassed of Recreation, Tourism, Parks and Grounds, and our wonderful jewel, the arena, the United Communities Credit Union Complex. Legislative Services Department is a very broad department. It encompasses licensing and bylaw enforcement, council services and risk management, planning and development services, building services, fire rescue, and emergency services. Also provided the report on tonight's council agenda is the status of the 11 different recommendations that council had approved and where we currently stand. I also wanted to advise council that there have been title changes to certain positions within within the organization. They're simply there to better reflect the new organizational structure as well as the duties of those specific individuals.
Any questions? What's your pleasure? Deputy Mayor Sutherland?
I move the recommendation as listed and concur with the recommendation to administration to continue with the implementation of the organizational review.
That's support for that motion. Councilor Davey supports that motion. Further discussion? Hearing not, all in favor? Opposed? Carried unanimously. Thanks, Christina. Next item.
That brings us into reports. Again, item 12.1 was referred to the next meeting, so that's 12.2, request for relief of use of Parks Bylaw 2002-72 for public events.
Item 12.2, Councilor Pouget.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. Through you two, I believe it was Dean. Rick. So this is just for the two parks, the Toddy Jones Park and the Centennial Park, and it's for two dates only, June 5th and August 10th.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. It's for the United Communities Credit Union Complex as well as Toddy Jones. Our event management committee looked at several applications that came forward, and those were the only two that came forward that required this relief.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead, follow up. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to make a motion. No,
well, you can make a motion now.
That the report prepared by Rick Daly on behalf of the Public Events Committee, dated May 3rd, 2013, regarding requests for relief of use of parks, bylaw 2002-72, for public events be received. That Council approve the recommendation that an exemption be made to this bylaw pertaining to the use of courses as part of the events attractions. And further, that Council approve the recommendation that an exemption be made to bylaw 2002-72, use of parks pertaining to animals being permitted within the confines of a park.
There is support for that motion. Councilor Davey supports that motion. Further discussion? If not, all in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. Having said that, I would ask the indulgence of Council. We have Cindy Prince in our midst, and we have a report under 15.4. I know Cindy would love to stay here and listen to it in the duration, but I thought perhaps if we would be kind enough to move it up, we can deal with it, and then she can reluctantly leave our meeting. Councilor DePasquale.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the item be moved up.
It's been moved. There is support for that. Councilor Sutton. Further discussions? All in favor? Motion is carried.
Item 15.4, amendment to site plan for the proposed Annisburg Family Health Team, municipally known as 721 Front Road South, Malton Properties, Inc.
On that, Councilor Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Move that report be received, that Council deem it appropriate to repeal bylaw 2013-24, which authorized the execution of a development agreement for 721 Front Road South, and further that bylaw 2013-50, being a bylaw to authorize the signing of a development agreement, be read three times, finally passed, and the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign, saying thereto.
Report by Councilor Pino. Further discussion? Councilor Pouget.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. I just have a quick question to Rebecca, and it just deals with, I believe it's just the change for 1,000 extra square feet. Did the residents in the area have to be notified of that change? And if so, were there any objections to it?
There was no notification requirement for this minor amendment. We did notify our internal departments, public agencies again, and there weren't any concerns identified from those that were consulted.
Okay, on the motion. All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously.
That brings us back to item 12.3, agreement with Junior C hockey tenant in the United Communities Complex.
Relative to that agreement, it's the council's pleasure. Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll move the report by Dean and concur with the recommendation.
Is there a supporter for that motion? Councilor Sutton supports that motion. Further discussion? If not, all in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously.
Item 13, reports for engineering and infrastructure. 13.1, Hamel Municipal Drain Culvert Replacements.
Councilor Sutton, relative to the municipal drain for the Hamel Municipal Drain and the Culvert Replacement.
I will move that the report be received and that council move the recommendations as listed.
Supported by Councilor Pilon. Further discussions? Councilor Pilon.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I just wonder if Luke could maybe speak a little bit to it, because if you read the request, it was for one culvert to be changed, but yet there's a number that's on the report that's going to be changed, so maybe...
Would you address that for us, Luke?
Yes, I will, Mr. Mayor and Council. The Mrs. Russo actually put a request in because a portion of the drain, namely her culvert, was out of repair. In fact, after a review by the engineering department, we found that there was a number of other areas that were deficient as well. And what this report will do, it will hire the engineer to have a look at the drain. The engineer will make a inspection of the drain. The engineer will come back with recommendations to council on repairing the deficiencies in the Hamel drain, and council will consider that report
at that time.
Okay.
On the motion, all in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously.
Item 13.2, Amherstburg Water Conservation Program 2013 participation, Essex Region Children's Water Festival.
Councilor DePasquale.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the report of Mr. Zarlinga dated April 24th regarding water conservation program participation in the Essex Region Water Festival be received, and that we sponsor the 2013 Essex Children's Water Festival as part of the 2013 Amherstburg Water Conservation Program.
There is support for that motion. There is support. Councilor Deputy Mayor Sutherland supports that motion. Further discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried.
Item 13.3, Environment Canada Salt Management Plan.
Councilor Pilon, on the report.
Motion to receive the report for Lou Zarlinga on the salt management plan, and the council authorize administration to send a letter of intent to the Environment Canada regarding submission of the salt management plan, and further that council authorize administration to complete the salt management plan for submission to Environment Canada.
Supported by Councilor Davies. Further discussion? Councilor Sutton, followed by Councilor Davies.
Just curious, through you to Lou, was Environment Canada's response to the 2005 motion to, you know, that we would do this plan when they would absolve us of keeping the roads up to a minimum standard, was there a reply to go pound salt?
Pound of flesh?
Mr. Mayor, no, there was not, but we found that it was time that we submit such an application to the right people and conform with legislation.
Councilor Davies.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is just requesting some information with that. Have we the opportunity to look at anything besides salt as something that's more environmentally friendly for certain areas of the community near farmlands or whatever, or waterways?
Mr. Mayor and members of council, other than having a look at calcium, we have not looked at any other alternatives other than salt.
Is there a reason for that?
Mr. Mayor, it would be the expense.
Anyone else? On the motion, all in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously. Next item.
Item 14, reports for corporate services. 14.1, signing officers, banking activity.
What's your pleasure relative to the report? Councilor Puget.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. The report by Paul Beneteau, be received. That Mayor Wayne Hurst and Deputy Mayor Ronald Sutherland be appointed as elected signees. That Paul Beneteau, Abel Sequeira, Brenda Percy, and Christina DiPaolo be appointed as staff signees, and that a combination of signatures consisting of one elected official and one staff member listed in the recommendation be required on all checks drawn upon the bank accounts of the Town of Amherstburg. That bylaw 2012-45 be repealed, and further, that bylaw 2013-43 be in a bylaw to appoint bank signing authorities be taken as having been read three times and finally passed, and that the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign same thereto.
There is support for the motion. Councillor Kupiswale supports that motion. Further discussion? If not, all in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried.
Item 14.2, tax arrears extension agreement for 3890 concession 3 South.
On your recommendation, Councillor DePasquale.
I move that the report by Paul Beneteau, Treasurer, and Greg Riard, Supervisor of Records Financial Analyst, dated May 1st, 2013, tax arrears extension agreement for 3890 concession 3 South be received. And further, the mayor and clerk be authorized to enter into the extension agreement between the town and the property owner, with terms outlined said in the said agreement. Further, that bylaw number 21347, pursuant to section 378 of the Municipal Act 2001, be taken as having read three times and finally passed, and the clerk and mayor be authorized to sign.
Is there support? Councillor Davies, Councillor Puget supports that motion. Further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously.
Item 15, reports under legislative services. 15.1, development charges deferral, 501, 503, 505, and 507 Gulfview Drive.
Council's pleasure, Councillor Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Move that report be received and that bylaw 2013-48 be read three times, finally passed, and the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign same.
Supported by Councillor Pino. Further discussion? Not all in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously. 15.2.
15.2, heritage tax rebate applications for 2012.
With council's pleasure, Councillor Puget.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. That the report by Steve Brown, dated April 19, 2013, regarding the heritage tax rebate applications be received, and further, that council concur with the recommendation from the Heritage Committee to approve heritage tax rebates pursuant to municipal bylaw 2012-122 for the properties listed herein, and accordingly direct the tax department to expedite the rebates for the approved properties and notify the applicants whose applications have been rejected.
There is support for that. Councillor Davies supports that particular motion. Is there any discussion relative to this motion? Councillor Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. A few questions. I'm just not sure who to direct them to in Steve's absence. Just wondering, now that the bylaw has been changed, what the specific heritage attributes of each home are that are listed to receive the rebate, and the amounts for each one that we're actually approving, because as it stands, we're approving a total amount, but not for each particular home or the heritage attributes that the rebate is going to be used to protect or put in place. Also wondering about the number of applications that were received didn't move on to the approval stage, and why they were not listed along with 252 Dalhousie Street, the Salmoni building. Just wondered why that was centered out in the report when there were other applications that didn't meet the requirements that were not mentioned within the report.
Particular issue, Councillor Davies, you got your hand up to respond.
Well, I can't answer all of those questions, but I'm pretty sure I asked this question in Heritage Committee, and these folks were the people who had submitted, and they were all accepted except 252, who didn't meet it. there were other people who are designated, but they hadn't put forward any applications for improvements. It's to the best of my knowledge. Now, it is in the Heritage Minutes.
Perhaps, since this, if I could, perhaps since this is Steve Brown's report, unfortunately not here, perhaps if it's okay with the movement supporter that we would hold it in abeyance or defer it until the next meeting, and then Steve will be here and we can respond to questions that were raised by Councillor Sutton. If it's okay with the movement supporter?
I'm prepared to withdraw my...
Okay. So I'd entertain a motion then that we would defer it and then bring it back at the next...
Also moved.
Been moved. Is there support? Councillor Sutton supports that motion. No discussion on the deferred motion. All in favor? Opposed. Motion is carried unanimously.
Item 15.3, refreshment vehicles operating on Town of Annisburg parking spaces and municipal parking lots.
It's Councillor's pleasure. Councillor DePasquale.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the report prepared by Nicole Rubley regarding refreshment vehicles operating in Town of Annisburg parking spaces and municipal parking lots be received, and that council not concur with refreshment vehicles operating on Town of Annisburg parking spaces pending receipt of required certificates and approvals, and further, that council not concur with refreshment vehicles operating on Town of Annisburg parking spots in Centennial Park and at AMA Arena on Victoria Street pending receipt of the required certificates and approvals.
So the motion is non-concurrent with both. There's support for that motion. Councillor Sutton supports that motion. Further discussion at this time, if any? Councillor Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. From my understanding, there's a certain amount of distance that has to be from other stores or restaurants who would otherwise be serving. Is that not correct? So I think that there's a void, like at the Centennial Park, where there's nothing else near there other than walking several blocks. I would not want to not concur if it meant that folks aren't getting refreshments, track and field meets, or whatever else. I assume that if there's a big festival like the Rib Fest, that there's a large number of people who would be there anyway, but I'm concerned about not concurring with it unless we have a good rationale for not concurring, because the questions I had was what hours and types of food would be offered, and would those mobile units be moved after the closing of the event versus being like a chip wagon which would sit there year in and year out. So I think that wasn't clear in the report, but I certainly don't disagree that we need some kind of support for transient events that would enhance the entertainment of the people using those parks at that time.
Spirit of the, any further discussion of council? Councillor Pouget followed by Councillor DePasquale.
Yes, I thank you, Mayor Hurst. Further to what Councillor Davies was referring to, my concern was, do we have anyone that has rented the Centennial Park, that little concession stand? Because I know that many times on Saturday mornings, I believe it's two nights a week, that place is packed. But I'm not sure if it will be open this year.
I don't know. Maybe we can ask Dee. Dee, have you got any indication relative to that little concession stand or the larger one that we hold sometimes when they have track meets or whatever there?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, in my time, the larger one's never been used. The smaller one adjacent to the baseball diamond is used by the minor baseball as a service / fundraiser. I've been told that there's not a lot of income that comes through there. It's more of their offices are in that building, so they operated as sort of a side effect of being in that building. But really, it's not what I would call a viable competition for anyone who would want to park and service food out of that parking lot.
Councillor DePasquale, on the motion.
Can I speak on that?
Sure.
Thanks. Well, my concern is liability if they're parked on our lots. They're running a business on our lots. I'm not sure if they're required to have special insurance when they apply for these applications. I'm sure the administration will look into that if they had to. Secondly, is the many events that go on, when you got the Wine Fest and the Rib Fest and other activities that go on. I mean, it's kind of tough when they spend all kinds of money to get people down here and other vendors, et cetera, and then you got somebody coming in that's just kind of paid a one-time fee, and they're enjoying the profits also. So those are my concerns.
Councilor Davies.
And I understand what Councilor DePasquale is saying, is that some folks will argue that, you know, they pay for bricks and mortar as well, and therefore somebody comes along and scoops them. I'm wondering if there's any guidelines in relationship to when they can take advantage of this. The other thing I did have a constituent asking me about is, especially during tourist season, is having a popcorn cart that could go through town. You know, when we were little, and the popcorn, I know I see grins, but you know, walking through the street and selling popcorn like in the old days.
Back then there wasn't, you probably had no stores when did you ever,
We did. We had a corner store, and we would buy a brick of ice cream, but we would also run out for our ice cream on the street, and we'd run out for our popcorn for 10 cents a bag. Oh, I mean a dollar a bag.
Councilor Pino.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I have some concern. This has happened in the past. We've had them, and I think we viewed it as a service to the public. There were guidelines, I believe, that they had to stay so far from other businesses of that sort. And I just wondered if Nicole could give us a little rundown of what the recommendations are. If they do come in, what do they have to do? Do you have anything there?
Absolutely. Through you, Mayor Hurst. For the refreshment vehicles, they will have to adhere to Schedule A46 out of the Business License Bylaw 2009-44, which does state that they have to, they're not permitted to operate within 200 meters of a licensed restaurant or a snack bar, or within 400 meters of another refreshment vehicle. So that does have a little bit of the provision so that it reduces the competition that may occur. If they were to be on our municipal lots or municipal roadway, they would have to provide an insurance certificate to the town, naming the town as well. As well as we'd have the health units do an inspection to ensure that they met all those requirements as well.
So what is it, 480 between one to another?
Yes.
So by the time you measure it, he moved over.
Anyway, just further to that, I guess... we put a lot of time, effort, and money in making this a tourist destination. And I think I think this all go part and parcel with tourists. They like to walk around and then maybe grab a snack. And so I'm speaking against the motion as it stands. I would like to see us concur with what we had other years. And because it never created a problem that I'm aware of. I don't know if anybody's got any complaints, but... Okay, so I'm going to speak against the motion as it is.
You just have.
Thank you.
And if there's no further discussion, I think we discussed it for some time on the motion itself, and there had been a motion to move non-concurrence with both of those particular items. All in favor? Opposed? Motion is lost. Councilor Davies.
I move that the report prepared by Nicole Rubley, dated April 30th, 2013, regarding refreshment vehicles operating on the Town of Amherstburg parking spaces and municipal parking lots be received, and that the Council concur with both the refreshment vehicles operating on the Town parking spaces pending receipt of the required certificates be approved, and further that Council concur with the refreshment vehicles operating on the Town of Amherstburg parking lots in Centennial Park and the AMA Arena of Victoria Street pending receipt of the required certificates and approvals.
On the motion.
Seconder.
Are there a supporter for that? Councilor Pujic, further discussion? I think we don't need it. You've had it. All in favor? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried.
I
brings us into information reports, item 17 and items A through H.
Item 17, A through H. What's council's pleasure? Councilor Sutton.
I'll move that the consent reports as listed in items A through H be received.
It's been moved, supported by Deputy Mayor Sutherland. Further discussions? Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If I could, I'd just like to comment on item number B, the Pat Thrasher Park dedication. I would hope that all of council is going to show up that morning for that.
Which one are you talking about?
B, Pat Thrasher Park dedication on June the 8th, I believe it is.
Those that can show up, we certainly would encourage you to do so. Councillor Puget.
I would ask that we pull number C so that we could discuss it, if possible.
Beg your pardon?
If we could pull number C, Kings Navy Yard Park bylaw review. I just have some questions on that.
Okay, so all of them except C. Yeah. Is that okay with the mover?
A through H, save and accept C.
Okay. All in favor? Opposed? It's carried. Item C, Kings Navy Yard Park bylaw review. Councillor Davies?
Puget.
I'm sorry, Councillor Puget.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. Through you two, I forget who it is, is it Dean? Dean, for this one? Okay. Dean, I'm just concerned about the review. Will there be public input? Will that be a necessity, or are you just going to come back to us with a review just with the people you suggested?
To you, Mr. Mayor, what the report's actually doing is recommending that we follow the policy that Brenda has presented tonight regarding bylaw reviews in general. So we'll follow the same process. Just to explain, I struggled with, because of Kings Navy Yard Park and its sensitivity, every approach that I vetted through various sources came back as insufficient to really do the job. When the clerk came back with her report, I kind of thought that would be best because it would be in line with all of the other bylaws to be reviewed. So that's why I'm suggesting that's what we do with the Kings Navy Yard Park bylaw review.
But further to that, I'm just concerned because, you know, as you say, it's a very comprehensive, park. It is appears to be different than the other parks. And I do have a concern because I think that the Parks Committee, the Accessibility Committee, the Heritage Committee, the Horticultural Society, and the public at large should have some say if we are going to be changing it from passive or whatever the intention is. It, due to the fact that before that park was even came into existence, the federal government required many public meetings, and at that time it was decided that it was going to be passive. And I think part of it was due to the fact that we had two active parks within a couple blocks away. And that's basically my concern that, you know, I would like to see these the public involved with this.
To you, Mr. Mayor, if I could just respond really quickly. I completely understand everything you said, and I think that's why there has to be a consistent approach to the review of all of our bylaws. The reality, and not to kind of argue the Kings Navy Yard Park bylaw concept here, but the reality is that despite the intention of it to be a passive park, it's acted as a somewhat active park through council approval. So that's where the origination of the whole bylaw review came about. So for me to kind of develop a process that would be specific to Kings Navy Yard Park, I think would be contrary to sort of the bylaw review in general. I would like to defer to Brenda for the process because I believe there's a public consultation portion of the process, but I'm not, I didn't write the policy.
Sure. Council will note in the bylaw review report under the stages of process, there's a stage three, which is a consultation with the audience. So what we do at that stage is that we'll identify the key stakeholders, which are the individuals or groups that you mentioned, and then work with them, get input, and then again, in
stage five, there's a secondary consultation, which isn't always necessary, but you're saying in this case it is. That would be to broaden the scope of the input, so going out to the general public.
Okay. So no one's going to be overlooked here for this, and the Navy Yard Park is just as important to all of us, and so that the discussion relative to that will certainly incorporate everybody so we can listen and have input, and then of course can make a determination on exactly what we want to do. On the motion. Oh, we haven't got a motion on the floor yet. What's your pleasure relative to I think it's C, the King Navy Yard bylaw, Councillor?
Motion to receive item 17C.
There is support for that motion. Councillor Puget, with no further discussion, all in favor? Opposed, motion is carried unanimously.
That brings us to consent correspondence, item A to G.
What's your pleasure relative to the consent correspondence? Hearing none, of Councillor Peel.
Move items A to F, and I want to speak on G.
They're supportive for that motion. Councillor DePasquale, any discussions? Here. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm not sure what G is.
Beg your pardon? The 200th anniversary of the
first of Giuseppe Verdi.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at the wrong one. Sorry. Okay. Thank you.
On the motion, Councillor.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to make a motion that we purchase a half-page ad for the 200th.
Could we do that separately? Could we do A to F?
Oh, I see. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I move that.
We got it. We'll get it.
I support it.
A to
I
F.
Made a motion.
A to F.
A to F, yes.
Is there
correct.
A support for that?
That left G out.
Yeah. Councillor, that one? All in favor? Opposed, it's carried. Councillor DePasquale, relative to G.
Go
ahead.
I'd just like to make a motion that we purchase a half-page ad for their 200th anniversary of the birth of Giuseppe Verdi. It's going to be a fairly large event, and I think the town supporting it will be beneficial.
It's been moved, supported by Councillor Pilon. No discussions, all in favor? Opposed, motion is carried.
Consent other minutes, items A to F.
Councillor Pilon?
Move items A to F that to be received.
With support, Councillor Sutton supports that motion. Any further discussions? Hearing none, all in favor? Motion is carried.
Item 20, other minutes, March 7th, 2013, Traffic Committee minutes.
Councillor DePasquale.
Thank you, Mr. Hurst. I move that the Traffic Committee minutes of March 7th be received. I further council concur with the Traffic Committee's recommendation that no parking signs be erected 20 meters east of Seymour on the north side of Simcoe, 20 meters east of King on the north side of Simcoe, 20 meters west of King on the north side of Simcoe, and 20 meters west of George on the north side of Simcoe.
There is support for that. Councillor Puget supports that motion. Further discussions? Councillor Pilon, followed by Councillor DePasquale.
Yes, thanks, Mr. Mayor. And again, I want council to understand to know exactly what we've done here, because there's been some concern in the past, I guess, when the traffic committee is making recommendation. What these two streets are is Seymour and King Street. These two streets go up to Simcoe on an angle, if you ever notice it on a map, and it's making it very difficult to make left-hand turns going south off of these two streets. So we had some resident concerns. We've had our traffic committee, some of the people have been out talking and trying to come up with solutions. There's congestion. Now, as you know, there's a business close by. So anyway, this is a recommendation. So you can understand there's 20 meters, no parking, at both of these intersections, both sides.
But you're talking about at the intersections of George?
No, oh no, not George. Seymour. Just Seymour and King.
Seymour and King.
And King, because these are the only two that kind of come on an angle. It's likely back in the day when you had your horse and buggy and you couldn't go straight before
there was popcorn.
But anyway, that's why they're there. And also discussions with our public works, Todd, he will be sending confirmation up to the residents in the area that this change is coming, so there won't be any confusion as in the past.
But just so I understand, because I thought you said
George
on the, you said something about going south, and I, are you
coming off of going
off
south
of, off of what?
Towards off of no going south off of King and
going
George
so going south off of King. I'm, that's where I'm confused. Is what I'm trying to.
We make a left-hand turn on the Simcoe.
Well, you're going
that's
east.
West.
You're going east.
That's going east, yes.
Well, said,
but
well,
we're going south off, going south on King.
So are these perceiving.
Picture?
You're talking about, I was born on that street, and I was wondering how you're going to go south on
well,
Simcoe.
I didn't say, if you're coming down George, going south, you're making an east turn on the Simcoe.
Councilor, if you could squat
it. Just to say that I'm sure with the increase in traffic seriously over the last few years, I know that area has been a problem.
Yeah.
It's been a problem, and it's about time that those signs are put up.
Yes. Well, I think you've got to understand that, and Councilor Pienaar is right, if you take George, if you take King Street, if you take Brock, you go to Simcoe and you try to make a left-hand turn going east, you've got a problem. Thank you, Mayor Southern.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you to Councilor Pielon. Will this be also published, put in the Rivertown Times just as an advance warning for people?
I don't think it will go in the Rivertown Times, but we will know that they are going to notify the residents in the immediate area.
Because it's just the residents who park there anyway, right?
Councilor Pujic.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. So just for a point of clarification, are we just approving King Street, Simcoe, and not George?
No, Seymour.
No.
King and George.
It says...
That's good, George.
At those intersections,
yes.
The signs will be on Simcoe.
They're all just Simcoe at George,
just Simcoe.
At King, and at Seymour.
So all three.
Yeah.
At all three
at
locations.
At King. At George.
Well,
Mayor Hurst?
Yes.
Councilor Pielon saying only two.
There's only two streets.
No, it's not.
Seymour, King, and George.
Yeah,
Seymour,
brought a map.
Seymour.
Yeah.
King.
It's going to be on Simcoe.
It'll be on Simcoe.
George.
But east and west.
East and west of those
east
three streets.
East and west
streets.
Of those two streets.
Yeah.
Maybe put a little simpler, yes.
Three streets.
Seymour, King, and George.
Correct. Thanks for that confirmation before.
Okay?
Yeah.
On the motion. Have we got a motion?
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yes.
On the motion, all in favor? Opposed? Carried unanimously. Did you vote on that, Councilor?
You're going to vote on the motion?
I'm done.
Oh.
Unfinished business items?
Anything unfinished, Councilor Pujic?
I was just going to request that we could add the sign bylaw and the protecting our protectors that was passed a couple weeks ago. If we could add it to unfinished business until it's brought before council.
Sorry, Councillor Pujic, as you know, I was away last week. I did have that report completed, but somehow it got knocked out of the agenda manager, so it is ready and will be at the next meeting.
Which report?
Sorry, the signed bylaw.
Okay. Could we have protecting our protectors then added on?
Okay. Anything else under unfinished business? Councillor DePasquale.
Yeah, well, thanks. I'd just like a report added to the list to do with the tariff response that was brought up here.
Okay. Still under unfinished business. Anything else? Hearing none, that brings us to the new business. Councilor Cogier.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. I just wonder if instead of requesting this under a notice of motion, if I could ask council's indulgence to request a motion to request administration to provide council with a report regarding the latest statements from Premier Nguyen, and to provide a recommendation if council should forward a letter to Premier Nguyen indicating that Amherstburg is an unwilling host to more wind turbines.
That's a request that you're coming putting forth as a motion.
Correct.
Under the report.
Yeah.
Is there a support for that motion? A motion first. Councillor DePasquale supports that motion. Discussion on that particular motion. Councillor
Just Lee. Just a piece of information, and I think with the Green Energy Act, I think we've already reached our maximum for wind turbines, if I'm not correct, and so therefore would be a moot point to be requesting staying out of, because we're not allowed to have any more. So we're already there. Can't have any more. So I don't know whether it's a moot point to be asking the question.
But I think what we should do, just to make sure, we can find out if that if
sure.
in
that
fact
that's
is
fair
a
enough.
Fact. Yeah. We'll find that out, and then of course Councillor Cogier can
yeah,
put that forth.
So we're not putting it forth now.
Yeah, I would
putting forward a request.
We're putting forward a request.
Right. Yeah, report.
Okay.
You
sure.
can hold it to it.
Yeah.
We'll direct the two administration to bring back a report.
Exactly.
Matters.
Once
yeah.
we
yeah.
check
yeah.
that.
Right on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Councillor DePasquale.
Thanks, Mr. Richards. Item 23. I'm going to step out on that.
Sure. We'll have a minute to reflect that. That's all.
Okay.
That brings us to the report of the in-camera session.
Council met in camera at 5:30 p.m. on May 13th for a special in-camera meeting and discussed two items as provided for under Section 239 of the Municipal Act. Item A, legal reimbursement, was heard under Section 239 2B and F. As a result of that discussion, the following motion is before Council: that the legal fees in the amount of $3,092.35 be paid in accordance with Section 283 of the Municipal Act.
I'll move that.
It's been moved by Deputy Mayor Sutherland. Is there a supporter for that motion? Councillor Davies supports that motion. Further discussions? Hearing none. All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously.
If Councillor DePasquale would like to come back.
Are there any notices of motion?
There's one more, Mayor. Oh, sorry. Item B, land acquisition disposition, was heard under Section 239 2C of the Municipal Act, and there's nothing further to report on this matter.
Okay. That brings us to notices of motion. Are there any notices of motion? Hearing none, that brings us, of course, to bylaw.
Bylaws 25.1, zoning bylaw amendment. Bylaw 2013-44 being a bylaw to amend zoning bylaw 199-52.
Councilor Sutton.
Move that bylaw 2013-44 be read three times, finally passed, and the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign same.
There's supporter for that. Deputy Mayor Sutherland supports that motion. Further discussions? Hearing none, all in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously.
Item 25.2, amending user fee bylaw. Bylaw 2013-46 being a bylaw to amend 2013-30.
Councilor DePasquale.
25.2, move that the bylaw be a bylaw to amend 2013-30 being a bylaw to permit the town to impose fees or charges be taken as having read three times, finally passed, mayor and clerk be authorized to sign.
There is support for that motion. Councilor Cogier supports that motion. Any discussion? All in favor? Motion again is carried unanimously.
The confirmatory bylaw 2013-52 being a bylaw to confirm the resolutions of municipal council meetings held on April 23rd, May 6th, and May 13th.
What's your pleasure? The confirmatory bylaw, Councilor Sutton.
Move that bylaw 2013-52 being a bylaw to confirm all resolutions of the municipal council meetings held on April 23rd and May 6th and 13th, 2013, be read three times, finally passed, and the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign same.
Supported by Deputy Mayor Sutherland. Further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor? Opposed, motion again is carried unanimously. That brings us to adjournment.
Move to adjourn.
It's been moved by Deputy Mayor Sutherland, supported by Councilor Cruje. All in favor? Opposed, motion is, was that unanimous?
I could stay. John.